hearing all this good singing, and it'd make you want to preach. And then get you in the glory, make you want to preach in the glory. But that's not what God's laid on my... Well, I hope it gets you in the glory. If you obey God, it will. If I obey God, it will. But let's turn Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. Something God spoke to my heart about in recent days. And I pray that God will speak to your heart. And as we enter into this meeting, that we'll realize our duty and privilege it is to serve the Lord. It's a joy to serve God. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Amen. What if you wasn't saved and wasn't going to church and you missed this tonight? You'd have missed out. You'd have missed all the joy that we felt in our hearts, all the thrill you saw on faces. And I love to sit up here and just look out and see the faces of folk getting blessed. I love to get blessed, but I love to see folk get blessed. And I tell you, Brother Tim got wound up and blessed my heart, and I appreciate that. I tell you, when God gets in, it just gets good, and it's a blessing to your heart. And I'm glad I didn't miss it. I'm glad God let me get saved and let me come to the house of God tonight and give me this joy, this privilege to be here. How good it is. Amen. Praise his holy name. In Luke chapter 17, stand please. Let's start reading at verse number 7. Verse number 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I thought not. Put it in our language today, being saying, I don't think so. I don't think so. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege we've had to be in the house of God. This day, throughout the day, you have been so good to us. And Father, tonight, you have wonderfully, marvelously manifested yourself. And Father, the liberty that was here, the touch of God, the joy and the thrill and the peace of God settled in hearts, and that overflowed from their eyes and their lips and their hands. And Father, we praise you tonight and give you all the glory and all the honor and all the thanks that we know how to give you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, now tonight, as we've read the scripture and as we go into the message, I pray for that divine leadership of the Holy Ghost. God, you touch our minds and hearts. And I pray, help us to preach as it pleases you. Touch hearts tonight. Speak to individuals. And I pray you convict and challenge. And we'll praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject. Characteristics of a true servant of God. Characteristics of a true servant of God. And I pray that God will help us tonight. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be characterized as a true servant of God. And that word servant sometimes throws us for a loop, but I pray tonight that it'll not throw us too far off, and we'll get it in our minds and hearts that we are servants of the Lord. And as we think about it, let me say biblically, and this is just a little introduction here. Biblically, they talk about hired servants and bond servants. And the hired servants was those that were agreed upon a certain price, that they would be paid to do a certain job. They had certain rights, and they could appeal certain things, and they could plead their cause in certain ways. You remember the parable told about the man that went out early in the morning and hired the servants to go work in the field, and so much for a day, penny a day, and then went out later in the mid-morning and hired some more, later at lunchtime some more, later some more, and then late in the evening, and time about up, he hired some others and agreed upon the same price. And then when it come time to pay them, the ones that started working early that morning began to complain. And they began to say, well, we labored all day in the field, and then these few came in here at the end, and you're giving them the same thing. And but that's what they had agreed upon. That's what they had hired in for. And so they were hired servants. Now, the bond servant, that's a different story. The bond servant, he had no rights, and he could not plead any case. It had been the bond servant at the end of the day, or the ones that started the first of the day, they wouldn't have said anything because they would have no right to say anything because they were not hired. They were not hired and paid a certain price to do a certain job. They were simply slaves of that day, and they were bond slaves. And tonight, I want us to get in our minds the fact that we too are bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes cry our rights and plead our cause. What are our rights? And what is our cause? We don't have any. Amen. My life is hid with Christ in God. We don't have anything to, I don't have anything to plead. I don't have anything to complain about. Amen. What can I say? What can I do? I realize a fact tonight. Now, there's not a one of us here, not a one, that has not complained from time to time. And these things happen sometimes that absolutely blows us out of the water. I was thinking tonight while they singing and it got so good and got so real. What I'm trying to say tonight, that it'll help us say what I want to say tonight, because that kind of thing, it doesn't always happen that way. And you don't always feel the way you felt tonight. Amen. I bet you don't always come to service and get into it and get the joy you got tonight. And some of you may have sat there tonight and didn't get any joy and didn't get anything out of it because something's wrong and something's not right with God in you. But I'm talking about if it is right and you're right with God, you've got some joy out of it. And maybe something spoke to your heart and thrilled your soul, even though the waves may be raging and the wind may be blowing and it may be hard and it may be tough and there may be things you don't understand. It may be a terrible time, but yet there was some joy and some thrill in your soul because of what went on here tonight, because you just got in. Amen. You're a bondservant. And look with me in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And I want you to see this in verse number 5, beginning there. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. If he himself was a bondservant, should we ourselves be bondservants? Listen to what it said about him in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Notice that, the form of a servant, a bond slave, a servant there, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember in the garden when Jesus prayed, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He did not pray to the Father and say, Father, I have lived a perfect life. I have lived totally in your will. I've done everything. He didn't pray like that. He bowed humbly as a bondservant and said, if it be thy will, if not, thy will be done. That's what a bond slave is. That's what a bondservant does. He doesn't try to tell about his rights. He simply tells about how good the master is. And so a bond slave, that's what we're talking about tonight. And then if we really bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be servants of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And how can you love God and say you love God whom you've not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? And how could you say that you're a bondservant to the God you've not seen if you're not a bondservant to the person you have seen? If you're not a help to those around you, how can you say you're going to be a blessing and a servant? servant in the harvest field of God. And so we must see ourselves like God sees us and let God help us in this. Now, that's just a little introduction. I'm going to give you about four or five things tonight. And don't get scared. They'll be brief, some of them. But I want you to get them because they're characteristics I find in this scripture. And boy, God smote my heart. When I looked at this and saw what was being said here, God really said something to me. Then Brother Fleming came along this morning, preached what he preached. Then got to testify tonight what's been testified, what's been said, what's been sung. And I began to think on this message. And even before service, I was thinking about some things. And this just all ties together. God is always on time. God always gives you the right thing at the right time to help you. Amen. I praise him and thank him for it. And notice in verse number 7 now, which of you have a servant? And so now we're talking about that bond servant, that bond slave. And we're talking about being bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and characteristics of true servants of the Lord. And we're talking about going into revival. And we're talking about the mission school and obeying God and doing what God has us to do and getting involved. And by the way, everybody needs to get involved in this thing. It's not just for a few. It's not just for missionaries per se, quote missionaries. Everybody ought to be a missionary. Especially in the night services, it's for everybody. I mean everybody. Everybody ought to get excited and get into it. And you know how it gets around here before Jubilee. Everybody's excited, bold, can't wait, and just anticipating what God's going to do and what God's going to get. I want us to get that way tonight. I want us to get that way as we face this week. I'm excited and stirred. I talked to Brother Tingen last night. I know how he feels about the mission school because I feel that way every time it comes to revival time or Jubilee. I'm excited. I get stirred inside. I'm waiting to see what God's going to do. But at the same time, I'm nervous as a termite in a yo-yo. Amen. And that's nervous. Amen. He don't know where he's going or coming, up or down. And you think about that. But in all reality, I am nervous about that because I'm wondering who's going to come, all that stuff. By getting that out of my head and say, Lord, help me, forget that. I'm going to get here and we're going to have a good time in the Lord and God's going to give us something to help us and we're going to have revival. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. Brother Fleming asked me a question this morning and we talked about some things and we're of course, he's older than I am now. He got a few years on me. But we're talking about some things. We're talking about the church. He said, preacher, and he's talking to me, tears in his eyes. He said, preacher, is your folk still rattling around you and with you? And I said, for the most part, yes. Amen. And I believe that. Amen. I like that. Praise God. Ain't nothing any sweeter in the world than a pastor and a church being together in what they're trying to do for the glory of God. And if they're not together, it's a mess. It's a mess, and sure enough, but oh, praise God. When you can get into it like we did tonight, when you can get together and just sing praises to God and say, yeah, we're in this thing together. We're servants of God together. We're having a good time together. We're enjoying God together. I say hallelujah and praise God and the Lamb for it. Amen. Number one, I want you to notice a true servant. And listen to, I'm going to read you the scripture. Then I'm going to say what I'm going to say. The first characteristic of a true servant of God is, let me read the scripture first. Which of you, having a servant, plowing and feeding cattle, was saying to him by and by, and when he's come from the field, go and sit down and meet. That is, when he comes in the field, go ahead and sit down and eat. And will, notice verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may eat sup, and girt thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and after thou shalt eat and drink. Now here's what he's saying to the servant. And he said, a true servant, when he comes into the field and he's labored all day long in the field, he'll, as a master tells him, to make ready for him and get his supper ready and get change his clothes, get cleaned up, and then take care of him, the master, and feed him, make sure he's eating well, and he's finished and all that, then thou mayest eat. If you just think about that humanly speaking, you begin to think, that's selfish. There's something wrong with that. As you look at it, if you don't think that, and humanly speaking, I'm talking about now, but I want to get beyond the human part of that. But here's what the first characteristic of a true servant of God is. He'll have one thing placed upon one thing, placed upon another thing, placed upon another thing, and he'll get, amen. And he'll keep coming, he'll keep coming, and he'll keep coming. Now, I want you to get this to you, because we're true servants of God. And we didn't hire in this thing to work a few hours and so forth, and then that's it. We didn't hire in just do a certain little thing, and that's it. We're servants, amen. We got in this thing to serve our master, amen. We got into it because he bought us with a price. What? No, you're not. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Hey, you're not your own. You're his. You belong to him. And so, therefore, what rights have you got? What rights do I have? And what can I appeal? I mean, I don't even belong to myself. I'm his, and he's mine. But, oh, praise God, he bought me with a price supreme, paid a supreme price, took my place. And you've heard the story, and I've told it many times. Other people have told it, but the man that was at a slave market, and he's having a sale, and some reason this one man got upset at his slave and took a spear and started to kill him, and the man stuck his arm out and stopped the spear in his arm and saved the slave's life. And the man that owned the slave said, take him, I don't want him, you can have him. And the slave said to the man that stuck his arm out, I'll be your slave for the rest of my life. I'll do anything you say. Go anywhere you want me to go. Do what? That's exactly what happened to us at Calvary. Jesus stuck his arms out, hung them both out, and said, I'll pay your price. I'll take your death. I'll intercede for you so you don't have to die. And then I said back to him when he got my attention and the Holy Ghost got through with me, I said back to him, I'll be your servant. I want to do what you want me to do. And I didn't know how to put that into words. I didn't know how to say it when I got saved. I didn't know what to say. All I knew was in my heart that I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. I wanted to serve him, and I wanted to be what God would have me to be. Is that not true in your life? Didn't that happen to you when you got saved? Didn't you say, you may not have said it verbally, you may not have verbalized it, but you're saying, I'll do anything. I just want to be what God wants me to be. Amen. I want to please him in all things. If you didn't say it, you just mean it in your heart. If you didn't mean it in your heart, you never got saved. Amen. Whenever you get saved, you're giving it all to God. And God don't take you piecemeal. He takes you all one time. And you just gave it all to God and said, here I am, here I am. And God came in, amen. Now he's had to work on us ever since. And he's still working on us because we're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ain't got us there yet because he's still got us down here working on us. Amen, Brother McIntosh. When he gets through with us, he'll take us home and we'll go and be with him. But he's still working on me, the children sing. But I'm about to sidetrack here chasing that rabbit. But that's a pretty good rabbit to chase. Amen. He's running good. And so we are. But I'm telling you tonight, he's one thing after. So we didn't hire in. We didn't come in that way. We were not our own. We bought with a price. We were a slave. And we're servant of him. So tonight, when things begin to come on you, and then something else begins to come on you, and then something else begins to come on you, that's just because you're a servant. And you're a servant. And the master may ask you to do things that you don't understand and you don't know, but the master's in charge. Now, notice secondly, a characteristic of a true servant of God. You cannot find anywhere in this scripture that servant ever said back to the master, Master, you're being too hard on me. You're working too hard on me. And I labored all day out here in the field. I fed cattle. I've got in hay. I've herded them up. I put them in the right pasture. I did all, and I've sweated hard and been in the labor and in the field. And now you're asking me to serve you, and I'm hungry and thirsty, and I need something myself. And he didn't say that. He simply did not say that. Have you ever said that? Guilty, amen, guilty. Have you ever been there? Have you ever know? Do you know what I'm talking about? Why don't you turn with me, since Brother Fleming was in 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll go back there again. 1 Kings chapter 17, I want you to get this. I love it. here's the prophet Elijah, and he talked about him being by the brook this morning and the brook drying up. And he talked about that. Boy, he did a good job. I praise God for it. I appreciate that. But when he got through with him at the brook, he said, now I want you to go to Zarephath. And said, there I have commanded a widow to feed thee. Now, that's odd, isn't it? It looks like he just said a rich man, a king or somebody that could have had wealth, somebody that could have helped him. But he said, I got a widow over there, and she's going to take care of you. And so he went to Zarephath. Now, get this. When he got to Zarephath, he met her. And when he met her, she was gathering sticks so she could take care. And let me read it to you. I want you to get it. Verse number 11. And as she, this is 1 Kings 17. And as she was going to fetch it, he'd already called to her to go get some water, get him a drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Notice what he said. He said, bring me some bread. He said, bring me water, bring me bread. Now notice what it's verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore of a little cake first. Here's a widow. All she has is a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and she's fixing to make some cakes for her, some bread for her and her son. They're going to eat it and die. Here comes a prophet by. He says, you make me something first. What would you have done? Said, well, that selfish preacher, he expects me. He's telling me to make him some bread when I don't have enough bread to feed me and my son but one time. He's telling me to do this. But notice what else he said. Go and, as thou said, make me there of a little cake first and bring it unto me and make it for thee and for thy son. For thus shall the Lord God of Israel, the buyer of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And what she was doing, she's simply being a servant. She's simply being a bond servant unto the Lord. And Lord had told her through the servant of God to go and do this. Said, bring me one first. And that really makes us think, doesn't it? And that seems odd also. It seems as odd as it does here for this master to be telling his servant what to do and for Elijah to be telling her that. But he knew what God was going to do, and God had already said that widow is going to sustain thee. But that widow, she didn't know what Elijah knew, but she took him at his word and obeyed what God said by the man of God and began to act on it. And when she did, and she was hungry and she was starving, her son was hungry and starving, but she obeyed God's man, heard what he said, did what he said because God said it. It wasn't the man of his word that she's doing it. Because God sent it through him, she was doing it. And God, every time she went to that barrel, a steel meal in it. I say hallelujah. Every time she got out and made a cake and she went back, they steal that much meal in the barrel. And she'd get it out, make another, and there's still that much meal in the barrel. She'd get the oil out of the cruse and set it down. There'd be that much more oil in the cruse. And that went on for many days, the Bible said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's enough to excite your soul and make you want to shout glory, hallelujah. Hey, God's able to reach down the when the barrel's empty and put some meal in it. Amen. He's able to do that. I told you a story one time about this preacher's always saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And he'd sing it. And every time something went wrong and they got low, and years when they had meal barrels, and one day it got empty. He was singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And his wife said, what you singing about? Said, we don't have anything. He said, well, I just felt like I ought to sing to God anyhow. and said, I tell you what, let's get over here and sing over this barrel. I got over and got to singing and got the echoing out. Sounded good, so they stuck their heads in and got to singing and echoing back and crying, tears falling, and they're crying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. By that time, there's a knock on the door, and they went to the door and answered the door. When they got their head out of that barrel, answered the door, and there was somebody had loads of groceries and everything for them. Said, God, just laid it on our hearts to bring this by and let you have it. He said, pray, come on in here. And said, get your head down the barrel. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I say hallelujah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And it's not time. It's not time to look around and say it's bad. It's time to look around and see a God, this almighty God, and praise him from whom all blessings flow. He is our God. We are his servants. And being his servants, that means there'll be meal in the barrel. That means there'll be oil in the cruise. That means, hallelujah, whatever I need, God's going to have. That means it's all right. Amen. That means glory to God and hallelujah and praise his name. A true servant of God will take one thing after another thing piled upon them, and they'll not accuse a master of being unfair, unjust. They know that God's in charge. And he's got everything under control. Everything's all right. Meal barrel will be okay. It may look low. It may get down to nothing. But somewhere God is going to send some meal by if we'll do what he says first. Here's the key to all I'm saying tonight. To be a servant is to obey him first. First, obey him. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto you. And he's been talking about things like clothing and housing and so forth and eating. And so tonight, I want you to see that. But notice something else here, if you will, please. Number three, there was no thanksgiving. No thanks to the man that was doing the serving. He didn't expect anybody to come to him and say thank you. We're bad to expect people to say thank you. Now, it's all right to say, I'm not against saying thank you. I get up here many times and thank people for what they do and all that. But I want you to know, what if I didn't thank you? And what if nobody in the church said thank you? And what if nobody come around during Jubilee or during mission school said thank you? All right, whatever you're doing to somebody, they didn't say thank you. Well, I don't know about. But look at verse number 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trot not. And I said a while ago, that's in our language. I don't think so. He said, do you think this man, this master said to that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him, doth he thank him? He said, well, now, thank you. Now, again, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Saying thank you is a good and right thing. And we ought to do that. But if you're doing what you're doing so somebody can say thank you, you've got the wrong attitude. You've got the wrong attitude. It's good to have a thank you. It's good to get somebody to say something nice to you. But I want you to know that's not why we serve the Lord. We serve him because he's God. We serve him because he's Lord. We serve him because he's the master. And we're the servants. Amen. And so tonight, that's three things I've already given you about characteristics of a true servant of God. He'll just let things pile up on him and let the master give him the orders and take them. And then he don't come back to the master and complain about it. And then he doesn't expect a thank you. He just does what he does because he's a bond slave. He's a bond servant. And he knows his place. And so he's there. He's doing what he does because he loves the master. And the master's God. He knows he belongs to another. He's not his own. He's bought with a price. And so he just does what he does. Isn't that good? Amen. That'll help you. That'll help me. That'll help all of us this week if we'll just get into it and realize we're doing just what we do because we love him, because he's a master. He paid the price, and he's let us get in on it. Hallelujah. And let's just get in. But let me give you the fourth thing tonight. I want to show you this. If you're a true servant of God, I like this. Look at verse number 10. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Now, hallelujah. He said, here's this man been out there working hard, laboring, come in. The master says, fix me, serve me, do me first. He didn't say anything. Went on, then said, do you think that master's going to thank him for what he's doing? No. But then he said, on top of that, when you get through all that, just say, we're unprofitable servants. That'll knock all the pride out of you. Amen. Some folk act like that they're God's gift to mankind and Christianity. Hey, I remember somebody used to be around here. He said, one monkey's not going to stop any show. Amen. Amen. And I like what Brother Tommy Steele says. He gets up to preach and he says, God can do without me, but I sure can't do without him. Amen. I say amen to that. God can do without me. God can replace me in a moment's notice and not miss a beat. But I can't go a moment without him. Amen. Brother Terry Mullen sings that song. Used to going to sing it again. Amen. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Amen. If I can't walk without him holding my hand, I can't do anything without his help. How in the world have I got anything to say? Amen. When the day's finished and all's over with, I'm just an unprofitable servant. That's what he told me to say. He told me to say that. Amen. I'm an unprofitable. Hey, I don't care what you do, how much you get involved, how much you giving yourself to this and that and the other. I want you to know we could have done better. I could have done better, and I look back. I could have been more. I could have done more. I could have done better by the help of God and the grace of God. I'm an unprofitable servant. Hey, that's what he said for me to say. And I'm not just saying it tonight. God got a hold of me in that scripture and said, look at yourself, unprofitable as an unprofitable servant. I again tonight tell you, I'm an unprofitable servant. Unprofitable, have nothing. But notice the fifth thing, and I close with this. He said, when you said you're an unprofitable servant, and he said, say that. And then said, we have done that which was our duty to do. And said, when you get through all of it and confess you're an unprofitable servant, just say we did what we did because it was our duty to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. God help us come down to the end of the road and say we've done our duty. Amen. And did what God told us to do. And being in church this coming week, it's your duty to be here. Amen. It's your duty to serve God. It's your duty to tell other people about Jesus. It's your duty. It's our duty to read the Bible. It's our duty to tell somebody. It's our duty to give. It's our duty to support missions. It's our duty to pray for missionaries. It's our duty. Hallelujah. It's a joy to have been the duty of God. And even though I'm an unprofitable servant, it's still good to be a servant of the Lord and be a bond servant of his. And tonight when I look at it that way, I want to tell you it takes care of a whole lot of little old things that bug you and little old things that bother you. When you look at it, I'm just a bond servant to God. I'm his servant. He's my master. And I'm just going to do what's my duty. Amen. Thanks or no thanks, he's my God. One day, someday, when I stand before him, that'll be the time to think of what he's going to say back to me. But right now, I'm just doing, want to do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I praise you for the privilege to stand and try to preach. Lord, what a blessing. But Father, as an unprofitable servant, trying to do my duty, I pray tonight the Holy Ghost would speak to hearts and people respond, come, let you have your way. Father, you're God. We're your servant. In Jesus' name, amen.